All right. Item four, report discussion and possible action from the technical committee. And we are going to let the technical committee do their own presenting today. So, Anthony, if you are ready, I'm going to yield the floor to you, sir.
Sure. Thank you so much, Chair. back on Thursday, May 4th, the Region 8 Lower Brazos Regional Flood Planning Group Technical Committee, we had a meeting to discuss how we can handle potential projects that are under the 1 square mile. President at that meeting was Sujeet, Charlotte, and myself. And we talked for several hours about allowing all these different criteria, but we did come down and came up with our own exceptions that are allowed. And I believe those are going to be covered on a later slide. Is that correct? The proposed exceptions for the group to consider.
This is Sam. We have it in our presentation.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if so. I'll refer to you then. So later on, we're going to discuss those exceptions. I guess I'd like to just say when we all started the meeting, we all agreed, and the three of us agreed that we had all voted to not allow any exceptions in the first place. And as we talked about it and all these different exceptions and unique circumstances were coming up, we realized we felt that it would be best that the group consider some exceptions to the overall plan. So that is basically the summary of the minutes that we discussed, and we'll all be considering those exceptions here in a later item.
Just to clarify, it looks like the slides are a little out of order. We need to go through those items and vote on the technical committee report now. So, Sam, we may have to skip ahead a couple slides so that you can elaborate on those things Anthony was talking about and then vote on them as item four, and then we can come back.
Sounds good. I'm ready. If we want to skip to that presentation, and right here, this is a good starting point right here to go through this item. So just as Anthony was saying, we met, talked about some exceptions to the 1 square mile requirement. If you go to the next slide, this shows what the guidance principle is. This is what is written in the administrative code. And once you can see here in number 9, the projects, FMEs, FMXs, FMPs. So this shall focus primarily on flood management strategies projects with a contributing drainage area greater than or equal to 1 square mile, except in instances of flooding of critical facilities or transportation routes or other reasons, including levels of risk or project size determined by the regional flood planning group. So we focus in our discussion on those things, looking at critical facilities, transportation routes, and then levels of risk and project size. So we go to the next slide. And here, this is what we sort of camped around. These five, what we're calling our guidance principles for the regional flood planning group for projects that have a contributing drainage area less than 1 square mile. And so I'll walk through these, and then this is what you will decide whether you like the wording on these, if you want to change anything with regards to these. And then at the end of our meeting, or in later on the next item, we'll actually bring those projects to you, and we'll say whether or not they align with these guidance principles. So the first one is that the FMP provides flood mitigation benefits to a critical facility, and these critical facilities are defined by the Texas Water Development Board, by FEMA, and or by the state of Texas. And we feel pretty good about that those are all consistent definitions and what a critical facility is. We also talked about the FMP removes an established evacuation route from flood risk. We had talked about whether or not to include specifically an agency. In this case, we do show TxDOT here. It doesn't necessarily have to be TxDOT per se, but we have that shown here as a TxDOT evacuation route. Number three is that the FMP removes a low water crossing that is a singular ingress or egress point from flood risk. And that starts dealing with like the evacuation routes, and this one as well starts dealing with the transportation aspect of the Texas Administrative Code. Now, there was some discussion, I believe, as to a low water crossing and what that is. And so I went ahead and added off, and you see on the right-hand side, the low water crossing definition as provided by the Texas Water Development Board. And I'll read it for you. So low water crossing is a roadway creek crossing that is subject to frequent inundation during storm events or subject to inundation during a 50% annual chance or 2-year, which is a 2-year storm event. But the RFPGs have the flexibility to utilize the community discretion to identify a roadway creek crossing as a low water crossing. So all I have to say is if there is a low water crossing that falls in this criteria and it's just the only way in and the only way out of an area, then we would consider that, especially if the contributing drainage area is less than a square mile. The other thing we looked at is, and we brought this before you last time, is that the FMP falls within a high flood risk HUC as defined by the analysis completed under Task 4A. So as you recall, we had put together a map that showed some dark, so the HUCs showed them in darker colors and then lighter colors, darker colors representing areas of high flood risk as defined, as we analyzed those under Task 4A. And if that FMP falls within that high risk HUC, then we would consider bringing that one in, especially if the contributing area is less than a square mile. And then last, the FMP provides benefits to reparative loss structures. So those were the principles that we talked about. And Anthony or Sujith, anything that y'all want to add to the discussion here? But these are the ones that we had pulled together and defined for contributing areas less than a square mile. So I'll let you guys discuss that.
Yeah, if the group so desires to accept these, keep in mind the projects that are already on the books that have been basically kicked out because they were less than a square mile, they'll be refiltered through these five items and included if they have all the information. Is that correct, Sam? Am I?
That's correct. Once again, these all have to you know, fall with the community actually providing all the information that we need to be able to include these in the plan. They still have to meet the other requirements that those that are larger than the square mile have to meet. But this is just for us to consider bringing in those smaller contributing drainage areas.
That's all I had. Thank you, Sam.
All right, Sujith or Charlotte, do either one of y'all have anything to add before we start going on the list? And I guess I wanted to note that I think Charlotte and Carl are both on the call now.
Yeah, thanks, Alicia. I am on. I don't have anything to add. I mean, I think we spent a lot of time trying to think through what would be appropriate filters, you know, trying to respect the concept of a regional project, but that there might be times with, you know, other initiatives and purposes of the state flood plan that we felt like these were good indicators of when a project rose to a benefit for a larger community.
Thank you. Sujith?
Alicia, I think, you know, we discussed, it was a little bit tough, but I think, you know, these were probably the items, I think, you know, considering the fact that we got to have some sort of, this is a flood planning group, and these, if we incorporate them, are probably going to help some of those areas which do see constant issues out right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Sujith. Be safe out there. Looks like you're driving. All right. I appreciate the committee's work. I know, like Anthony said, they spent hours on this topic, which is why we broke off a technical committee so that we did not have to spend hours on a main meeting. So that hopefully today we will not spend hours on these, but I think just to have some sort of sanity of discussion, I propose that we sort of walk through them one at a time. And if there is a voting member that wants to discuss 1 through 5, like let's just take them one at a time and then we will vote on them. So with that, the first one on the list, as you can see on your screen, is providing a benefit to a critical facility, right? Critical facilities already in the text that Water Development Board listed. I think all the committee did was just to say, well, what do we use as the reference point? And so they provided multiple sources, all very official ones. So is there anybody who has any additional questions or concerns about the first criteria listed? Brandon, please.
Yeah, I just have a general question, and that is, are we going to end up leaving anybody out? I know we're going to go filter the other ones that we had already received, but do we worry that we have people that didn't submit because they were under the impression we weren't going to look at any of these in the first place? And if that is the case, then do we have an ability to accept latecomers that went, hey, I didn't get to submit mine? Otherwise, I'm generally supportive of the whole thing.
Thank you, Brandon. And I'll allow somebody else to add in that. Maybe Charlotte going to jump in. We are going to have an amendment process that we can take in projects later that I think RIKE and Water Development Board are going to have for a call for us in the next couple of days. But I think fair point, like they said, they went back and scrubbed the others. Charlotte, is that what you wanted to speak to?
I did, because Brandon, I think that's a really good question. And it's, you know, I think we all started that our technical activity with some hesitation about that, recognizing we did have, you know, a handful of projects that were already filtered out, but it did leave us with the question of how many others just didn't even approach or try because of that. And where we kind of landed as a group on that was, it's better for us to move forward what we can now and then do our best next round and in the amendment cycle to communicate this in forms of outreach to, you know, to change that next go, but not to penalize everyone now with this reconsideration of just stopping the process because we, you know, trying to be uber fair about that if we stopped someone else from entering. And we came to that just because we do have these filters and there is this overall other ranking process that all the projects will have to go through anyway. So we didn't feel like we were being preferential to anyone through that process.
Is there another voting member? Oh, go ahead, Brandon. Sorry.
I just thank you. And as I mentioned, I'm generally supportive of the whole thing. So.
Thank you. Any other voting member on item one? Go ahead, Sujith.
Alicia. Yeah. To echo what Charlotte has said, I think this criteria based on the facts, what we have, the project submitted, our technical consultant has expressed that they can get some of the stuff done, which we'll probably see right now. And there may be some more, which I think the other entities who wants to, as Charlotte mentioned, they could be part of the addendum because it's a moving process out right there. So I think this fits in with the overall perspective of a regional flood plan. We look at the big picture, and I think now this is kind of a honing down to the nitty-gritty of the small stuff right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Sujith. Okay, so we have, sounds like, some general support for all of them. Any other discussion on one? Does it look like? So, group, I'm going to go ahead and number two, which has to do with the TxDOT evacuation routes. Is there anything specific for the committee or Sam that you want to ask questions on that number two regarding evacuation route qualifications? All right, seeing nothing from the voting members, we'll talk about number three, low water crossings. This is one that when I'd heard it had a somewhat of a question. And so Sam has added the little notes to the right to sort of define what that means for us. Are there any questions from the group regarding the low water crossing criteria, what that means, how it would be applied? Brandon, did you want to speak or?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. I think you were no longer on mute, so I just double checking. Okay. Nothing on three. Then we'll talk four, which is the high flood risk HUC as defined in the analysis completed under 4A. So this is an existing sort of criteria already established, basically, to just be something we could apply. All righty. Number five, benefit to repetitive loss structure. I guess my question is, are we using a FEMA definition, or what are we using for repetitive loss, Sam, or committee?
Well, it would be something that would be FEMA based. It says something that's continued flooded and provided multiple, you know, insurance claims. So okay. Repetitive losses on that structure. And there's a database of that information. You have to request it from FEMA, the community has, but if it's providing benefits to that, that's what we camped around being, is an opportunity to include these smaller contributing areas.
Okay. All right, so those are the five criteria. Again, the committee spent a good amount of time, I think, really knocking off the corners and trying to figure out how to do this. And yes, maybe ideally, hindsight 2020, we'd have done this 6 months ago and everybody would have had the door to come through. But it doesn't seem, I agree that, you know, doesn't maybe make sense to exclude everybody now when there's some opportunity to get more folks in the plan. So with that, what today we're supposed to do is to consider whether we're going to adopt these criteria. In the foreshadowing that you heard from Anthony and Sam, they have already applied these criteria to the project list we're going to see on in the next item. If for some reason we don't adopt one of these criteria, it'll be simple enough for us to strike projects, for example, that are only related to number two if the group doesn't support those. So any final thoughts on the five criteria, or I will take a motion as a whole if there's not.
I move approval of the technical committee's criteria and recommendation.
Second.
I'm sorry, I missed. Who was the second?
It was Matt.
Thank you, Matt. All right, I've got a motion by Brandon and a second by Matt to accept the five criteria as presented on the screen. Any objections from any of the voting members? Any objections? All right. Again, thank you very much, Technical Committee, for taking that extra time and getting into the weeds on a tough topic and saving us all from having to do it individually with y'all. Much appreciated.